This is in the series of healing examples. We are on number 31, I believe it is, tonight. Matthew 9, turn there if you would. Yeah, number 31 on the healing example series. This is now officially the longest series I've ever done. It's over half a year, for crying out loud. That's okay. You know, I've had guys say to me, they're like, well, now, you know, that may not be true, Gene, because when you were younger, yeah, I did some series on books. And I did some series like on the book of Ephesians, the book of Colossians. I did Philippians, if you remember. Now that maybe was before you, Eva, but I did some long series. And so I'd have to check, but I think this is probably getting right up there with the longest I've ever done. So anyway, by the time it's all said and done, I'll guarantee you it's going to be the longest. So Matthew chapter 9, title of the message tonight is nothing real catchy, but it is what it is. The title of the message is Two Blind Men Healed. Isn't that something? Wow, I mean, come on, give me something that's catchy, Pastor Dan. You know, people, when we go to hear the word, it doesn't need to be about catchy. It needs to be about faithy, about the word, man. And Matthew 9 is where we're going to start. But I just want to say this about your faith and your walk of faith. And I'm going to be brief, I promise you. So, you know, if you can hang on for 30 minutes and not doze off, you're in good shape. Praise God. Yeah, amen. If you see heads bobbing, ushers, just turn it down a little more. We'll freeze them up. Faith fights. You realize that. Faith does fight. Faith, we are instructed in the word to fight the good fight of faith. Faith does fight. But here's the thing about that. I can't make the decision for you to fight. I can't even make the decision for Ann to fight. That's between her and the Lord, and literally between her and whether she wants to take her faith and nail the devil with it or not. That is up to the person, okay? So sometimes we get frustrated. We can't make people do things. Now, we can encourage them all that we can, and we should, and that's why I'm putting this out here tonight, frankly, because this is something that we need to hear teaching on. Amen. And frankly, just because you have faith in one area of the word, you're very developed in your faith that you're saved. How many of y'all in here are saved tonight? You know that if you passed away tonight, you're going to heaven. Well, the fact is that, you know, your faith is developed there. It's developing. It's not fully developed in any area, mind you. But you have faith and you know that you're saved. Some people have great faith in the area of finances. Some people have great faith in the area of walking in divine peace, regardless of what's going on around them, for protection, for supernatural protection. Some people have great faith where healing is concerned or to see a person set free from demonic influence, whatever it may be. There are different areas in the word, and there are scriptures that apply. And you and I, if we're going to be well-developed in the things of God, we need to be people who are hearing the word on a lot of different subjects. Somebody asked one time, you know, why don't you preach on this? Why don't you preach on that? I'll preach on what the Lord tells me to preach on, and that's what you need to hear. Okay, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I could bring a newspaper in and we could start talking about the book of Revelation. You know what? That's not me. And I'll refer to the book of Revelation and talk about that from time to time. Or I might, you know, you haven't preached on deliverance like you should. And it's like I should? Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like you're taking control from the Lord of directing the pastor what he should preach, right? We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. That's just not the way it works. Now, some churches, they have it's planned out every week, the subject, for the next year. And you pull out this little missalette and you open it up and there it is. It's all right there. It's all laid out for them. And that's, you know, pre-planned. It's kind of like a package that you get, you know, and it's everything is quartered out and it's sent from the headquarters. And you know what? I get mine from the headquarters, all right, but it's not a man that's telling me that. So amen, amen, praise God. So you need to hear what the Lord has said about all different types of subjects. Now, how do you get faith? Sharon, tell us. And hearing by the word of God, by the rhema of God, literally, the spoken word of God. So it's very, very important that you hear the word. It's very important that you get into the word. The Bible said, and Jesus himself said it, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember that? You know where that's found? It's found in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. But it is a quote out of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. And in the context of where it was quoted in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, Moses writing to the people of Israel that had come into the promised land, there was a temptation that the people of Israel would be tempted with, and it was this. They were now in a place of prosperity. And how many of y'all know prosperity can tempt you? You start prospering financially, and things start going well for you, and all of a sudden, I don't have time for God. That's why he said in Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he, God, who gives you the ability, huh? To do what? To get wealth. Sure. That he might do what? Establish his covenant. So you can't forget the Lord. You get blessed, you don't forget God. And praise God, you haven't forgotten the Lord. Amen? I mean, we haven't forgotten the Lord. But I look at that and I think, you know, so when the enemy came at Jesus, and it was when he said, turn these stones into bread. You remember, Jesus defeated the devil when he came and tempted him in the wilderness, quoting out of the book of Deuteronomy. So don't tell me the book of Deuteronomy doesn't work. That's Old Testament, Pastor Dan. I had a guy come in one day, and he pointed out those Ten Commandments that we have. It's kind of a cool stone plaque thing. They're separate, hanging on the wall in there. And he's like, what do you have that up there for? He said, we're not under those anymore. I said, you know, you're being a little legalistic. Nowhere does it say that it's okay to covet your neighbor's wife now. Nowhere does it say that you can kill somebody now. Thou shalt not commit premeditated murder. I know that's what it says, but you can't get away with that now. It's not okay to use the name of the Lord and speak it in vain. You know, take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. No, I said, they're all summed up in that one command of walking in love. I'll give you that, but that's still the word of God. Well, that's Old Testament. Let me tell you something. The Old Testament foreshadows things that occurred in the New, and you do well. You ever get a tickle in your nose? Never in front of people, right? I want to whinny like a horse. I used to do that at the tennis club, just a little sidetrack. You're holding tennis balls, you know, you're giving lessons, you're doing this, you're feeding, you're doing this, and then you go like this. Well, you got that little wool on your fingers a lot, and that get up your nose? Are you kidding me? You'd be doing this all day. Man. So anyway, where were we? So Jesus is using the book of Deuteronomy to rebuke the devil. And so when he said that, the temptation came to him to not do what the Father said, but to literally do what the enemy said and use your own resources to do something else. And Jesus said, no, not going to do that. Man's not going to live by bread alone. In other words, I'm going to listen to the word from the Father, that and that alone is what I'm going to do. That's why he made that statement and used that to rebuke the devil. And I, you know, frankly, when I began to research that and look into Deuteronomy chapter 8, it really kind of came alive to me because it was in the context of Israel now beginning to flourish and be careful that you don't forget the Lord. Be careful that you don't start leaning on, you know, it's all about the physical things that we have and all this provision and this, that, and the other. It's not about that. It's about obeying God, what he tells you to do and what he says don't do. Can I hear an amen? Well, so man will not live by bread alone, and you and I need to hear the word from the Lord. Amen. That's just all there is to it. So let me ask you this. Do you read your Bibles? That should be pretty automatic, right? Bible? What Bible? No, of course you read your Bible. Do you feed on the Word of God? See, if you don't feed on the Word of God, you're going to get weak. It's likened to physical food in the respect of if you don't eat physical food, you get weak. If you'll eat the Word, feed on the Word, you need to get that as an illumination that you take the Word and you get in it and you consume it daily. You get in the Word, you keep putting it in, you keep putting it in. Yeah, but Pastor Dan, it doesn't seem like anything is changing. Give it time. The minute you start a workout routine, it doesn't look like anything's really happening either. But over time and consistency, things change. Amen. Amen. Now, the attacks of the enemy are no different. But suddenly what happens is things that before seemed impossible start to look reachable over time. You're getting in the Word, you're hearing the Word, your faith is growing in this area, it's growing in that area, it's growing in this area, that area, and you feel like, you know, I'm getting a well-rounded diet of the Word of God, I'm growing in the things of God, but please do not limit it to all you get here on Sunday and Wednesday. You need to be getting in the Word. You need to be getting in the Word every day. Feed on it. Amen. So your spirit will be strong. And those impossible things begin to seem like they're reachable. And my goodness sakes, faith for healing comes by hearing the Word on healing. So we've been in this series. Let me have my phone, honey. You're going to throw it at me again, aren't you? We've been in this series on healing. And what's the idea behind all that, Pastor Dan? Well, that you would hear the Word on healing and your faith would begin to develop in the area of healing, okay? It's never going to develop in healing and on that area if you're not hearing the Word on it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. You're not going to get strong in healing if all you're ever hearing are verses on how to get saved and you're already saved. No, well, now, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. No, hold it. You need to hear specific stuff, okay? So here we go. Matthew chapter 9, you're there. I'm sure you're there by now. If you're not, my goodness, you need to... Yeah, I know you're there. Matthew 9, let's look at verse 27, and it reads this way, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country." Now, I want to read that same account to you in the New Living Translation. I've got it here on my phone. And let's read it from the NLT, New Living. "After Jesus left the girl's home," now this was, Jairus' daughter had just been healed, right? I mean, you can go back up in the chapter. We had covered that in one of the... times and more than one, and how many messages we covered that. But so, and after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying. That's kind of forward, isn't it? And Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, "Don't tell anyone about this," but instead they went out and spread his fame all over the region. Now, you know, that was a little, not just a little, a whole lot of disobedience. But somebody's like, well, was that maybe, did they then, these guys maybe lose their healing? Bible doesn't say that, okay? But what was happening was Jesus was being thronged everywhere he went. You remember with the woman with the issue of blood, one version read that the crowd was literally suffocating him. There were so many people that he couldn't move about. And that's why he'd want to pull aside and get apart and go up in the mountain to pray and get away from these people. You think, well, Jesus did never really want time away from people. Yeah, he did. He was as human as you and I. And although we love people, there are times you've got to get alone with the Father. Amen. So these two men, they're following and they're calling to Jesus. So they followed Jesus into the house. So then Jesus says, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" Right? We just read it. The two blind men say, "Yes." Jesus said then according to what you believe, be it done unto you. And there was an unseen power that healed their eyes. Unseen. Y'all see what I'm wearing on, not my clothing, but this microphone here. This is the, let's see, that's the receiver there. He's saying, don't touch it. Yeah, I know that, I know. Hey, this is a new one, you guys. I ought to be able to touch it all over the place. But anyway, hey, Austin, look. So we have a receiver and a transmitter, right? Y'all realize that there's electricity. There's a signal that's going through the air, okay, that's connecting this thing on my hip right here. And the box, let's see, the box is actually over here, but then that's connected into another one that runs wires in the back. It runs wires up to the, I mean, there's wires and then there's wireless, but there is, with this, a wireless signal going forth, right? The broadcast that's going out over YouTube right now, it's reaching people all over the place. It's an unseen signal. It can be detected, but you don't see it. You don't see the going over there, do you? You know what I'm saying? Oh, but we can hear it. Yes, yes. Larry, did you hear that? Sure. Yeah, you got it there. I don't think so, Tim. Anyway, I got you. I got you. I got you. Yeah, I did. But look at what Jesus said. Then according to what you believe, be it done unto you. So for this microphone to work, there has to be a path for that to travel. There has to be a receiver and a transmitter, right? This thing, in order to work, has to have two batteries in it. You turn it on, and it lights up, and the thing works. I don't care how it works, but it does work. There has to be a path for the power of God to flow, for a healing to manifest. Do you hear me? There has to be a path for it to flow. And Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. What happens is directly linked to what you believe. That's literally what he was saying. What happens is directly linked to what you believe. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. They don't believe it. But Jesus said it this way on a number of occasions. He said in one place of the word, he said, your faith has saved you. Another place, he said, as you have believed, be it done unto you, right? You remember? You with me? On another occasion, Jesus said to one, your faith has made you whole. Another place, he said, according to your faith, according to your faith. Now, this is important. This is important. Most churches emphasize two things about events in the Word of God. They'll emphasize God's power and or God's will. And some people go so far as to say, well, if something happens, it's God's will. Have you ever heard that? If it happens, it's God's will. And just don't question God's will, it's God's will. How many of y'all know that all you have to do is look around in the world for a moment. Look around right now, what's going on? Not only in this country, but throughout the world. Is everything that is happening out there God's will? Are you kidding me? And some folks think they're being real spiritual when they say that. Oh, it's all in God's hands. Well, then God's got it pretty messed up if that's the case. And then why isn't everybody saved if God, as the word says, he wills above all things that every man be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? Why is there a large section of humanity not saved? Don't believe in Jesus, worship the devil. If everything that happens is God's will, my goodness sakes, you set yourself up for a fall. Not everything that happens is God's will. It's not everything that happens out there is God's will. So the Bible says that we're not to be ignorant, but we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, I don't know where that verse is, but I remember the quotation of it. So please, you can go and look and find it. Don't be, I think it uses the word ignorant, but that's a polite way of saying don't be stupid. Hey, don't be stupid. Find out what the will of God is. Don't just spout off something like, oh, anything that happens is God's will. Because it's not. Amen. Well, you're one of those. Yeah, one of these disciples. Yeah, that's me. I'm one. You're one. Yeah, exactly. That's right. No, not everything that happens is the will of God. How were these two blind men healed? According to Jesus' faith? Come on. No, it wasn't according to Jesus' faith. According to the anointing on Jesus' life? No, say no, because these are the right answers. Okay, I'm giving you all the answers here. All right, number one. How were these two blind men healed? Jesus did not say it was according to his faith. He didn't say it was according to the anointing on his life, because Jesus was anointed. He didn't say it was according to the mysterious will of God. He didn't say that it was according to Christ's power. What did he say it was according to? He said it's according to your faith, be it done. So you need to be very careful about this. He didn't say it's according to the perfect timing of God and everything's aligned up and it's according to this that these two are made whole. No. Jesus could have said whatever the truth was, and that's exactly what he said was what the truth is and was, and it, to this day, it's according to the people's faith, be it done unto them. Now, you know, it's like, okay, are we going to argue with what Jesus Christ himself said? I don't think so. So that's what Jesus said. What he did say was, according to your faith, be it done unto you. He emphasizes this over and over and over again in the Word. Why? Because there's a personal responsibility for you. He's not going to supersede your will. And that's where we get into trouble and get into problems with trying to believe God for a person. You'll never supersede another person's will. You cannot override somebody else's will. I have seen God do things for people that were barely saved. I mean, I say barely saved. You're either saved or you're not. But they were very newly saved, didn't know the Word, didn't have a deep understanding of healing. The manifestations, the phanerosis of the Spirit began to move in services, and I've seen miracles. Now, you cannot go and use that as a judging stick, if you will, for every time you're going to pray for somebody. You cannot make the manifestations of the Holy Spirit occur. And if a person gets healed under a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that is not the norm. Yeah, but God superseded their will. No, they wanted to be healed. They just didn't know how to believe. That's why baby Christians can get healed many times quicker than people that have been born again a long time. Amen anyway. I'll amen myself. I'm not so sure I should say amen to that. Yeah, well, you should. So he emphasizes this over and over again. It's connected to, it's proportionate to your faith. Our faith is a major component in the process of healing. Do you hear me? Okay? But so is your will. And that's why sometimes people will say, well, that happened and they laid hands and that person got healed miraculously. I've seen a lot of miracles through the years. But I will tell you this. There comes a point where a person is responsible for their own life in the respect of you're no longer a baby. You've had time. Okay? And so, because you've had time, This process may take a little bit longer because you're having to walk on your own 2 feet and someone else isn't going to come swooping in and by a phanerosis, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, get you healed. And now you're healed. Now you can go back to watching Gunsmoke. A lot of people want to get healed so they can just be more comfortable watching TV. Well, anyway, that's another amen. Thank you for those amens. Praise God for the amens. Hallelujah. Go back to Matthew 9, verse number 28, and look at it in the King James. It reads, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? They said unto him, Yes, Lord." Notice that they came to Jesus. Faith is not passive. Faith is aggressive. Faith steps out. Do you hear me? Faith is not passive. Now, they obviously had heard something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they obviously had heard something. They maybe heard about the woman with the issue of blood. All you have to do is back up in the chapter a little bit and look. I mean, and it just said Jesus just came out of the little girl's house there where he said, "Give place, for the maid's not dead but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn, and he put everybody out and said, "Talitha kumi," and the little girl rose up. That just happened. Right? Well, so he just left that house. Had they just heard about that? Had they just heard about the woman with the issue of blood? Had they heard about this miracle or that miracle? Why? Word was out. And these guys are like, "I hear. This happened there. It happened over there. Let's go. What do we have to lose?" And they're stumbling after him because they're blind. And they follow him and they, "Jesus!" And they're calling for him to heal him. "Son of David, have mercy on us." And you know what the disciples were. "Come on, you guys, will you leave him alone? He's tired." Y'all there? You awake? Are you feeling pretty comfortable about right now? Nice and sleepy. We don't want to sleep. Sleeping's for the bed. Amen. But so let's go again. Let's go again. So here we are. Faith is not passive. They followed Jesus. They had heard something that motivated them to push on after Jesus. I'll just leave you with this. In James chapter 4, we're going to stop right here, and we'll pick it up again next week. But when you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. You go after the... Go ahead and stand to your feet. You go after the things of God with a passion, God will meet you where you're at. I would tell you, though, one of the biggest problems that the body of Christ faces in regard to believing is seeing. Seeing and what you're looking at. And it doesn't appear this has changed. It doesn't appear that situation has changed. It doesn't appear our faith is working. Well, there's a lot of things that contribute to that, and there's a reason, you know, for every one of them. And God expects us as believers, as we grow, to get our words ordered right, do you remember, we just talked about it, was with Asa in the Old Testament a few weeks back, about how he was supposed to do some things in the natural, and he did not, and it cost him his life. You're supposed to do everything you can in the natural as well as pray. Do everything you can in the natural. Don't back off of doing the natural thinking you're being spiritual. It could be the biggest mistake you ever made. "Yeah, well, it'll show I don't have any faith." No, you're being stupid. That you don't have any good sense is what you don't have when you don't do the natural thing. Oh, amen anyway. I told you I was going to amen myself tonight. But really, the fact is you have to do all that you can in the natural to attend to your body. Pray, do the natural thing. I mean, the Lord didn't say that godly or exercise was not good for you. It just said it profiteth little. In comparison to what spiritual things do, people have taken that and run with it because they don't want to exercise. So it's like, well, I'll read my Bible. And in the meantime, you're not doing the things for your physical temple that you should be doing. So, amen. Some stuff for the temple right here. Amen. That's good water. Anyway, praise God. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you tonight. We give you the glory tonight. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for the power of God unto salvation. I thank you for the power of God unto deliverance. I thank you for the power of God unto healing, unto a miraculous turnaround in a situation that needs to turn around. I thank you for the power of God that has solved conflicts, for the power of God touching marriages tonight, for the power of God touching people's thought lives, touching them in their spirit man, yes, saying, yeah, yeah, get in the Word. Go after the Word with everything that you have. Thank you for that conviction. Thank you for your power flowing. I give you glory tonight and thanksgiving and praise and honor. We thank you, sir, in advance right now for the healing virtue flowing on Andrew's body. We hold up Andrew Wynn before you tonight, and we speak health over his physical flesh.